This is Leanne.
And this is Mandy.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths.
All right, this is episode 33.
Yay! And I'm back tonight to tell a story.
I feel so rusty. You need more practice.
Right? I know. So tonight, I'm going to tell you a story of the disappearance of Jason Landry.
Okay.
You ever heard of that?
I don't think so. I might jog my memory if you tell me a little bit about it.
So Jason Landry was a 21-year-old student at Texas State University.
Okay.
Or just Texas State. Maybe it's just Texas State. At Texas State. And he went missing on December 13th of 2020.
2020. Oh, that's recent.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. So Jason grew up in Missouri City, Texas. His parents are Kent and Lisa Landry. He was the youngest of three children. His dad was actually a preacher. So a little pressure growing up being a preacher's kid.
Yeah.
I'm
going to be good.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure to be good and do the right thing. But everybody that's ever talked about Jason described him as being strong-willed, courageous, adventurous, happy-go-lucky, a free spirit, just a warm, kind person. Very optimistic. His mom is a musician, so he loved music and did a lot of music and stuff in the church. And he was super excited when he got accepted to Texas State. He was really excited about that. So he was 21. He was getting ready to go home for Christmas break that year. So this is in December of 2020. I guess it was March of 2020 is when Corona kind of struck and everybody's social life went down, which I think was a little hard for him because he was pretty outgoing and, well, everybody pretty much got quarantined to their dorm rooms and everything was online. His neighbor, Jack, who was also a high school friend or a childhood friend of his, said that in the weeks before he disappeared that he had been acting a little strange, but he was smoking some weed and stuff like that. Yeah,
not abnormal at all.
And I would imagine they probably smoked more weed than normal because you're stuck in your dorm room.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't go anywhere.
Really. What else are you going to do for entertainment? So the night he was leaving on December 13th, Jack said he sent him a text and said, "Hey, get some sleep before you leave." And he was like, "Thanks for checking on me. I'm good."
Who was Jack?
Jack was his neighbor.
Okay.
And his childhood friend.
Okay.
And that was the last anybody heard from Jason.
Jason was at his apartment or dorm?
Yeah, he was at his apartment, so he was leaving that night to go home for Christmas break. So he left, and about, I want to say it was like 2 o'clock is when his parents got a call from the sheriff's department.
2 a.m.?
Yes, 2 a.m., which would be on the 14th, that they got a call from the Caldwell County Sheriff's Office saying, "Hey, we found your car on the side of the road wrecked," because the car that Jason was driving was registered to his parents. And they were like, "Was he okay?" And they said, he's not here. So when they find the car, it was in a town called Lulings, Texas. It was a rural road. And the car was wrecked, like on the side of the road, into some trees. And it looked like whoever had been driving the car had gotten out through the back window, was busted out, which there was really no reason for that, the way that it was wrecked. There was also clothes in the road that almost indicated or looked like somebody was walking and taking their clothes off. They found his backpack and had his wallet in it and all that stuff. He was nowhere to be found. It was basically in the middle of nowhere. His parents, of course, are like, come there. His dad goes there. And so the investigators on the scene, and they don't find anybody, they don't see anybody, and they really don't do anything. And actually, I said that wrong. It was the highway patrol that found him. Okay, put all his stuff in the car, have the car towed. They do no forensic anything. And so when his parents finally get Lulling, Texas, they find out the car's been towed. And they go there to look at the car. His dad finds his phone.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they didn't have that. Found his phone like wedged between the seat and the console. They do go back and look at, I guess, like his cell phone records. And they can see that he was like after 11, he was on Waze. And they can see like every move he made through that. He should turn left, but he missed it and kept going straight. And that was the road he ended up wrecking on. So they don't know why he missed his turn, especially if he was on Waze. They can see that he got on Snapchat right after he missed his turn. They did find a lot of marijuana in the car, which again is not abnormal for
legal in a lot of states.
But they searched the area, they don't see him anywhere. they end up calling in the Texas Search and Rescue the next day, and they searched the whole area because they just didn't have the manpower for, like, the highway patrol to do it.
The Texas Rangers or something? Is that what it's called?
I think it's literally called the Texas Search and Rescue. I think there's, like, an acronym for it. So they bring out the dogs and the drones and all this stuff, and there is no sign of this kid at all. Then so all of the dogs kind of point to a pond that was on some land right near where his car crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of the land lets them drain the pond. And of course, the parents are freaking out, like, but he wasn't there. Like, he's literally nowhere. And then the sheriff's office there basically chalked it up to a missing persons, and they really didn't do anything else about it. Like, they told his parents that there's a big wild hog presence in the area.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe. They're like, hogs don't miss a meal. So maybe, I'm like, oh my God.
What?
No. So they never even, like, looked into anything else. Like, something else bad could have happened. Could somebody else have been on that road? Could somebody else have been in the car? Like, they didn't fingerprint the car. Nothing.
They think it was more like an accident or nature or
something.
They
think that he was high, wrecked, got out of the car, took his clothes off, and got eaten by wild hogs.
Yeah. This is it's what it sounds like, they think.
That's exactly what they think. So they didn't do, really did nothing beyond that. One of his friends at school or college, her dad was a retired FBI agent. His name is Abel Pena. And she just started telling him about it. You know, he's just a nice guy. It's so weird. He just disappeared. So he actually is a private investigator now. And they have, like, a nonprofit called Project Absentis, where they look for help with missing persons cases. So he reached out to Jason's parents and said, hey, I think I might be able to help y'all with this. And so they were just so happy that somebody else wanted to do anything, really.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, anything. So, of course, they have the car fingerprinted and they get DNA, but they never really said why. I don't know why they couldn't have it processed, but, like, the sheriff's office basically said, people get in and out of people's cars all the time. So why would we, like, that's not going to help us to run fingerprints or DNA from the car. It would if you come up with somebody who shouldn't be in that car. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
hit.
The private investigator started asking around the town in this Lulling, Texas. Oh, and there was a wildlife camera, too. Like, they went back and watched the footage of the wildlife cams, and there was nothing on that either. Like, you didn't see the crash or anything, but you could see all the area around. And during the time of the crash, there's nothing.
Nobody walks in front of it or anything.
Yeah, so they start asking all the residents around Lulling about this. And apparently there's a huge drug, like, gang presence in Lulling, Texas. The Abel guy was like, people, they wanted to talk, like, they didn't want to talk. And so they decided to set up a tip line thinking nothing would come in. And apparently it got flooded with people calling, like, anonymous tips.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it said the same thing, like, that Jason came through Lulling, and when he stopped at this intersection. I don't know if he stopped on purpose to talk to somebody or if somebody did. It would be a really weird coincidence, I think, that that would happen. But all the people were saying the same things. And still, the sheriff's office did not want to do anything as far
that
as...
what would happen? The people were saying what?
Well, that he would stop at an intersection in this random town and encounter, like, some bad drug dealer that would do something bad to him. But I guess it could happen.
You mean that's what they were saying on the tip line?
Yes. That's what the people...
Were saying that he stopped at this intersection?
Yeah, like, they know something, but they don't want to talk.
And they did something to him. Like, okay. And that's what they were saying in the tip line.
All the same story. But they would never... I think they did give a name, but they didn't release it or anything that I saw. But it really never went... Like, the sheriff's office never did anything...
With it, with the tip line or the tips.
Nothing with it at all.
There must have not been much to the tip either, probably.
Well, according to Abel Pena, he really thinks there is, but...
The investigator.
Yeah, the private investigator.
Yeah, so he feels that there's something else to these tips that are coming in.
Yes, but the sheriff's office does not. Last year, the attorney general's office opened a cold case missing persons unit, and so they have Jason's case now. They just released a statement about a month ago saying it's still ongoing, looking into it, but there's really nothing to... From all their investigations, and I don't know what they've done, but there's nothing to show that there was anything nefarious or anything bad that happened in Lulling or that anybody else was present when this happened. So basically, this kid is coming home from school, going home, missed his turn, and ended up having a wreck.
He could have missed his turn because he was on Snapchat and just the ways wasn't on there.
Taking a turn or having a wreck, getting out of his car, taking all his clothes off, and then disappearing into thin air.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so interested in this.
So it was probably alien, like, abduction.
Okay, I'm going to use your line. Story's not funny, but you are. I know. I just think it's how does somebody disappear just gone?
Okay.
It blows my mind.
What it makes me think of, and I know it's not, he wasn't out partying or anything like that at a bar downtown in college, but if I had a nickel for every story that I have heard, and there's no way that this is a coincidence, and we haven't done a case on any of them, but about a kid, a college student in their early 20s, early 30s, or 20s to 30s, whatever, is going out, or he's not a college student, he's in his 30s anymore probably, but they're going out the bars downtown wherever they live. I don't know if there's one in, I can't really even remember right off the bat, but a lot of them are linked to, they are near big cities or Chicago. I think there's one, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so they go out and then the boy walks home from the bar, which is very responsible. Mm-hmm. You either Uber or walk home now. That's super responsible. And he goes missing, right?
Yeah.
And they find him 3 days later in the river near the town. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard that same story, which is cannot be a coincidence. And I know that some of the podcasts have done him where done stories on him, and they're like, is this linked to this case and this case? And they name a few. There was just one recently that I read about, and I was like, what? And that's where I thought you were going to go. I thought it was going to be one of the...
He's just gone. He wasn't in the pond.
Because it was different. He wasn't out partying. Yeah. He was just driving home. He got out of his car. It reminds me of the Maura Murray case.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought
like
about.
A girl version of
like
Maura Murray.
Like, he's just gone. Like, it's the most remote road. It's called, like, State... I don't know. Some weird, random road name. What's the name? And it was just... There's nothing there, apparently, except for wild hogs and a pond.
All the cases we do, 2 years is nothing. So much could happen, obviously.
And there's and I been, hope like, it does. Some of the tip line, I think people called in several sightings of him, like a homeless shelter somewhere, and they went and checked it out at another place where they said he was living, and obviously none of those were
same
him.
With Maura Murray. Same things like that happen. And she vanished into thin air.
His dad is not giving up. Like, he's not. There's a Facebook page for Jason. I felt so bad for his dad. He's like, your whole goal as a parent is to protect your children. He's like, and I failed. I'm like, oh my God, you didn't.
You can't keep
you
every.
You didn't fail.
You can't be there every 6 seconds every day. And there's no way. I mean, everybody feels like that. And it's awful in all these cases. And all these parents are devastated. I can't imagine. But yeah, he had to go off to college. He has to live his life. It's sad. But of course, I know anybody would feel that way. I just think it's weird. Now, his case is different. He wasn't out drunk at a bar.
Yeah.
I almost feel like these guys are either, I don't know if they're getting roofied or what, and then whoever's roofying them approaches them after, and I don't know if they're
push them in the water.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's, I don't think it'd be sexually assault thing, but it could. They could, and then the water, when you're in the water, just like fire on the last case,
it gets
we
rid
did,
of DNA.
It gets rid of DNA, and there happens to be these rivers around, and that's why I didn't know if you were going to go with that he was found in a river, because I was thinking he's going to be found in a river, because it's just it's just eerily common, and he was the right age, but he just was traveling. So his is a little bit different. He wasn't at a bar.
He just disappeared into thin air, basically. And it's just all this weird stuff. Like, why were his clothes thrown out in the middle of the...
It reminds me of the Amanda Tusing case. She was found in water, too, but they were trying to destroy the DNA. She was on her way home, same exact thing, from her boyfriend's college town, remember? Yeah. And they did find her. This guy, they haven't found anything, but I just feel like they can't...
And multiple times, like, they've had drones out and search teams over and over and over again all over this area, and there's just absolutely no sign of Jason
Landry. Is there a lot
Landry.
Of media on this case? Because I don't really think I don't think
I don't think
this
so.
Case.
I just randomly came across it, and I just thought, how does somebody just disappear? There was, they have his ways. He didn't stop anywhere. He wasn't speeding. Nothing strange was going on. Just all of a sudden, he just crashes into these trees along this private fence line.
And they think the back windshield that was busted didn't have anything to do with the crash, or?
They said that it looked like it was busted from the inside. Whoever was inside busted out the back window to get out. But his door was smashed in. Like, the driver's side door was smashed in.
From the wreck?
Yeah. It was very odd the way that, it's almost like he spun around and went, like he was going this way and then spun and went into the trees that way. It was an Altima. That's what he was driving.
I definitely think it has something to do with the wreck. Either somebody forced him to, made him wreck, or either somebody wrecked into him and didn't want to get in trouble, or
took him?
Yeah. I think it's related to the accident. With him, I think my sleuthing thoughts are the blonde ones. It had something to do with the accident. And maybe they trapped him in the car, and maybe that's why he busted the back window out. Then they got him and they took him.
And I was thinking also, somebody did follow him from in the town. Somebody saw him.
But he didn't stop in the town, you said.
But well, he stopped in a red light. Okay. You know, and somebody saw him and followed him.
I don't know though.
There's no, unless they just thought he was just looked like somebody good to rob. But his wallet was still in the car.
So it wasn't that. That was not the
his
motive.
Marijuana was still in the car. There were like 8 blunts in a prescription bottle in his car.
I feel like this is one we need to look deeper into, because it's a new case, or those podcasters that we listen to that do one whole case, this would be a good one to
You want to say somebody on. Knows something, but does anybody know anything?
Definitely somebody knows something. Somebody's involved.
Could he have been eaten by wild hogs?
Unless you were me and you believe that people get abducted by aliens. No, I meant he got out of the car and they just beamed me up, Scotty.
But that's why he wrecked, because he saw the light.
Maybe that happened. I don't think the wild hog thing, because
it's so gross. And they were like, in the winter, and hogs don't miss a meal. And I'm like,
I think that even if hogs were involved, he could have been hurt. Do they think he got hurt in this accident at all? That,
but there was no blood or anything. But I'm thinking, well, so maybe he hit his head and he was... Maybe he was because he took his head, took his clothes off, and he was disoriented. But where is he?
Was it cold? So we're talking Texas, so it wasn't cold.
There's well, no it was December. It's probably... It was cold, but it wasn't like freezing cold.
Not cold enough. I don't know why I thought it had anything to do with taking his clothes off. I'm thinking of hypothermia when you...
Yeah, when not when you get out of the car, though.
No, none of that makes sense. It'd be different if he was in a frozen place and he had been stuck in his car for hours and hours and he was freezing to death and he was about to go into hypothermia, he would take his clothes off.
Yeah, that would have been the only thing. I think the last thing on his phone was like at 11-something, and then they found his car. They called his parents about like 2 o'clock, so somewhere between 1 and 2.
Something happened between there. I think that it definitely had to do with the accident, okay? And someone else... helped cause the accident. I don't think that he caused his own accident. I think there was another car. Well, it seems like they would have seen paint, though, from another car.
So, yeah, there was nothing.
They said he hit a tree?
Uh-huh. It was a one-car accident. They're still sticking with that.
So somebody may have run him off the road, caused the accident. People run people off the road all the time. I don't know why the back window would have been busted out, unless they busted it out.
Why would they run him off the road? He didn't know anybody in Lulling, Texas.
I don't know. Unless it really was just somebody out to do something.
Just a random violent act.
I don't know. It does seem...
He's just gone.
Not likely.
I just could not imagine. It's just... Like, just...
Well, there's not any clues. There's no clues.
There's nothing. Yeah. Or there may be DNA or fingerprints in the car, but we'll never know that if they mean anything. Not wanting to at least try. They're like, we won't find anything on that.
But hurt to do it. But think about how many people have touched the car since then.
Yeah.
It was a crime scene that they didn't treat like a crime scene.
But if you run it through a database and you get 4 hits, and one of those hits is somebody that's never been in his life before, and you go ask them, do you know this person?
They're thinking that somebody in a parking lot of Target could have touched his car. It actually isn't a huge possibility.
Certainly. They probably wouldn't have a record. Not everybody that goes to Target and touches a car has a criminal record that would be in a database with their fingerprints or their DNA.
But DNA could have been tested inside the car,
certainly
fingerprints
couldn't
outside.
Hurt. I'm just thinking, what could it hurt?
They should have been able to figure out how the back window was busted. Like, you could tell if it was shattered from a rock, a bat.
They said it was from the inside. It was kicked out from the inside.
So it was kicked out. To me, it sounds like they tried to trap him in the car and he got out.
Maybe.
He got out and then they took him. Hmm. Whoever this non-burglar, they weren't trying to rob him because all that stuff was left. You know what? 2 years, like I said, is not a long time. Mm-mm. Sometimes other things
come out.
I'm
sure it's his parents, though.
Oh, gosh. But in the world of true crime
and
cases and things like that, it amazes me how 40 years and 50 years later, cases will be solved. And
you're
like,
kidding.
No one ever thought that those cases would be solved, and they get solved, which a lot of those are DNA, that things that have... you know, come up, technology that is different. That definitely is one case. But even things like tips, secrets, things like that, they finally see the light sometime.
There is not a lot out there on Jason's case. Most everything that I came across researching was local stuff. It was all like local news out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Or
what's
interviews.
His last name, and how did you find this case? I'm going to look up the face. Landry, that's... Okay, I'm going to look up... Did you join the Facebook page?
I sure did.
Okay, because I was going to try to join the Facebook page.
Yeah,
I did. Jason Landry Missing came up.
Yeah.
And then, okay, Texas, I'm going to ask if I can join it. There's actually...
Oh, wait,
one
I like
9,000. Oh, I asked to join... Oh, it's probably a... There's probably
one's
a page.
One's a group, one's a page. I like the page.
Yeah. You have to answer questions to be... I'll do that later. I'll answer the questions and join it. Oh, there's a page you can follow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since there is not a whole lot of national... And he's the cutest little thing, isn't he?
He is.
There's not a whole lot of coverage on this, so...
There needs to be more.
Yeah. So in the meantime, if anybody listening has any information on Jason Landry's disappearance, the family is offering a $20,000 reward for information, and you can contact the Texas Attorney General's office at 512-936-0742. Now, if you want to call anonymously, there's also an anonymous number that's 726-777-1359. But I just felt so much for
his
dad.
This is so sad.
I know, and he was just so cute.
He
is. Videos were just precious.
Yeah, they had a candlelight visual that was in December, mm-hmm. just this past December.
I think they have one, and the people in Lulling, Texas do one, and mm-hmm. then in his hometown too. Missouri City?
It right? says Ken Paxton is the name of the Attorney General of Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. That I guess that...
So there have been like a lot of regular updates and,
yeah.
and stuff because his dad's just not sitting down. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't either.
Oh gosh. We never would. There's 17K followers on this page. So that's good.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's really good. We definitely need to look more into this because this is just...
Well, I've been wanting to... This is the story that I told you about several weeks ago that mm-hmm. I wanted to do, but you were off jet setting to Mexico.
Where did you find this story? I think you already told me.
It was a case of Disappeared.
Okay. They do a whole podcast on that. Ellen, and they've probably done a case on this. I'll have to see.
Oh, really?
She has a new host now, but the one that Emma was in the play with, that she's a podcaster. The podcast is called Disappeared.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
It's like a really popular podcast.
Or Disappeared, where these things could happen. But some of them that I come across and it's just, they just poofed.
No, for sure. A lot of them totally there is. Intrigued by it. Even if they're not solved and they haven't found a body, you've got a really good suspect. Most of them. Yeah, not one like this. This is one where there's no suspect. And a lot of times I think if there's nobody in their life that, a lot of these cases, obviously missing women, it's the husbands or the ex-husbands or the boyfriends or the whatever. There's a motive and everything links back. And
it is different when it's a boy.
And because it's not, it's okay, because most women's cases are sexually motivated.
Yeah.
And then they have to get rid of you so that they don't, you don't tell on them and they don't go to jail. So those are all those motivations. When it's a male, it is different. A young mm-hmm. male who doesn't seem to me like he had any links to anything
bad.
Nefarious. So I don't. He just seems like an everyday boy next door, which we do not know him.
Yeah.
And we do not know all the, like I said, some things, if there's some secrets or anything that he's linked to, they could probably eventually come out.
Yeah.
But I think this is a random.
It happened in a town that he has no connection to, except that he drives through there going to and from
wrong place at the wrong time, which is just so strange to think about.
But it does happen.
It does.
Anyway, if you have any information on Jason, please reach out and then make sure to follow his Facebook page.
His Facebook page,
yeah, for sure.
And follow us.
Yes, and follow us.
If we have any updates, we'll definitely post them.
For sure.
All right.